Off the ball. Rugby.
He was at the Stormers for a long time.
Yeah.
He's such a good coach. And I say coach, I mean the work ethic, the detail, the way he conveys it. No ego. You don't see him trying to take any media limelight. He's not come with celebrity. He just wants to win. And I think he's like one of the best coaches I've ever come across.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, folks, how are we? Welcome along to another episode of League of Ireland Late Night here on Off the Ball. Just making my way out of Richmond Park here in Inchicore, and I believe Shane Keegan is just making his way out of Tolka Park. Shane, how are you?
In great form, Ben. Just trying to make my way down Dorset Street here. So I am at a quick bolt for the car after an absolute cracker of a game. I genuinely can say I haven't enjoyed a game as well. You can keep your World Cup for a while, Ben.
That's exactly what I said as well tonight, Shane. And on my preview of the game there on the radio, I said, don't mind the World Cup. The real action is in the League of Ireland tonight. What a night of football. Go on, talk me through what happened in Tolka first, because that scoreline is just, well, dare I say it's a bit astonishing?
Yeah, look, I don't know. Look, I thought there was good signs of improvement in Shells before the break. They'd started to show that defensive solidity again that their previous success was built on after a period of time where they seemed to be creating goals or conceding goals at a ridiculously concerning rate of knots. The defensive solidity had been back, I thought, before the break. They were excellent tonight. They were absolutely excellent tonight. As were Rovers. It was two cracking teams. Every substitution made seemed to be an attacking substitution. Both managers were just completely going for it. Shells made ridiculously attacking substitutions at 1-1, which showed real intent from Joey. We ended up with basically centre halves staying at home, ridiculously attacking full backs or wing backs. One sitting midfielder in JJ Lunny on one side and Matt Healy on the other side. And after that, it was just a free-for-all of attacking players coming from here, there and everywhere. I'm not sure whether I'm putting two and two together and coming up with five here, but I think the new rules might have lended to it a little bit as well, Ben. I don't know if you saw much of a difference in your one, but like I was on co-commentaries with Steve-O and like we didn't have a chance to catch our breath. Like normally where you hear this big time when a lad is down injured or taking 5 minutes to come off or they're setting up a long throw or none of those things existed in tonight's game. It was non-stop action, absolutely end to end, and Shells probably deservedly just about coming out and topping it.
Yeah, I did notice that as well. To be honest with you, Shane, I saw the referee putting up the 5 seconds for throw-ins a couple minutes in, and had completely slipped my mind that we were in this new age just before it.
Yeah,
but
we had one overturned. I don't know if he had any where it was fully implemented.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we had one. I would say Sean Gannon wasn't long on the field, and yeah, went about taking the throw. Harvey put his hand up. And literally, Sean Gannon threw it just as he had got to zero. But as far as he was concerned, he had got to zero. He overturned it. And I mean, that there was maybe 15 minutes left at that stage. And I mean, that was a signal that, look, not one of you are going to get away with any form of time wasting here. So nobody bothered to try from there on.
Yeah, well, look, we did have it in our game, but it was a little bit more stop-starty. There was a lot of head injuries. There was a couple of bad tackles went in. There was one moment where, I got to speak to Stephen Kenny after the game. Fortunately, I didn't get to speak to Kevin Doherty, and I feel like the media who stayed there waiting will be waiting a good little while longer because he was furious with both decisions. The first one, it's an advantage kind of given to Bajie, and he gives it for about 3 seconds. Pass, turn the ball over, go up the other end and score. It's the second one where I think the new rules have played their part, where Conor Healy is off the pitch after a head injury, and he's off the pitch for... Well, I say over a minute. We timed it towards the end of the second half, and it was just over 2 minutes. He was off the pitch, and Kevin Doherty was going up screaming at the fourth official. Darren Doyle was up screaming at the fourth official, and eventually he gets on just after the whistle's gone. People are asking me who won. Pats won 2-0. They sorry, few people walking by pestering me to let them know the score. But yes, Pats did win 2-0. So Keeley's off the pitch for over 2 minutes, waiting to be called back on. Zach Abzeddy scores, then Keeley's on after, and Doherty is just furious. And look, maybe rightly so. It's one I'm sure we'll dig into over the course of the next while.
The other thing I would have commented on tonight was, I was a little bit concerned coming into tonight, Ben, in the sense that, you know, there was a lot more low-profile build-up. Maybe it's because of the break and people have forgotten about it a little bit, but obviously you'd be nearly more concerned that it's kind of, you know, the World Cup and a lot of the journalists that covered League of Ireland so well maybe are gone across there. But all of those concerns were just alleviated even after I parked the car. It wasn't even the case once you got into the stadium. There was a brilliant buzz around the place. When he got into the stadium, the place was packed. Jack Moylan was in the house. He was getting high fives and pats on the back from everybody who was around the place. Brian Fenton was in the place. It was a real buzz around the place all night. And then thankfully, as I say, the game lived up to it as well. The goals, wait till you see the quality of the team play for Shelburne's first goal. Absolutely outstanding. Young Adam Brennan then comes up with a peach to bring it level. The battle between himself and Mbeng down the wing all night long there was a couple of outstanding individual battles, so there was. Mbeng and Brennan all night going at each other was brilliant to watch. Shamrock Rovers were extremely attacking in the sense that the two outside centre halves, so Boali and Enda Stevens, both seemed to be happy to go at the same time and just leave Meepo and Lee Grace one-on-one, and they had an outstanding battle all night. I would say, you know, Meepo tried to go at Lee Grace maybe 8 times over the course of the game. Lee Grace handled them brilliantly on 7 of the 8 times, but on the one time he doesn't, Meepo scores a brilliant goal. Now, I would question McGinty. He'll be annoyed at himself. He'll question himself. He doesn't need me to question him as to whether he should have allowed the goal at the front post, but you had to praise Meepo for managing to squeeze it in, and it looked like it might be swinging back in Rovers' favour then at that stage. But Shell's just found a second wind. To find that second wind for Meepo to get back on the front foot after the Rovers won. Sorry, I should have said swung in Rovers' favour when they got the equaliser. But I can't get over how attacking the substitutions were. I see Shane Kendi on hold there. Be interested to see what he made of it. Like, you're taking off Caffrey, who I thought was outstanding, and bringing on, you know, a really attacking player in an alley, Coote, and just really, really going for it. They had actually only switched from what was a 4-2-3-1 to a 3-5-2, I'd say 3-4 minutes before they went and got their winning goal. So talk about getting instant rewards from it.
Yeah, you mentioned Shane Kenley there. I'm actually going to bring him straight in because I do feel like this is the big result of the night. So I'll get Shane in Shane, you can put your questions on the match to the man who had maybe was watching with a bit more rose-tinted glasses than you were from the stands. Shane, how are you?
Yeah, I'm just walking back to the car, lads. I don't know how it's showing there. That is now. The wind's going to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, we have you there now.
Yeah, I thought it was an outstanding game of football, wasn't it? I thought Rovers clearly, like, look, they're with more well-drilled. They're well more oil-thin than we are at the minute. I thought Meepo was just the one time he got the ball under control. Every single time he tried to kind of run it too early, well, that was the only time he kind of stopped the ball dead and kind of set himself. And this is where I like going early, because he was banging them in with his left foot in the warm-up. And I wasn't surprised that he got that. And I have to disagree with the subs. I thought they were made to give Joey some credit, because I've been a bit critical recently. I thought they were made at the perfect time. I thought Chapman was at his feet. I thought Caffo was blown as well. I thought the subs were just made perfect. And the key thing in the first half was we didn't concede when we had that stupid box formation. And he switched it to 3 centre midfielders instead of the 2. And I thought that was just needed to be done. And Dicky was at the going up front to kind of stop Mahidi playing. I thought he was getting out too easy. And when he brought on Jarvis, I was like, oh, Dano's going to come off. I don't know about that now. But it actually took off. It's right. Was it? It took off Chapman, wasn't it? And then Dicky went up front to kind of stop the press. I think on the press.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, listen, I've not been critical of the substitutions either. I just, as I say, Caffrey just surprised me a little bit in that it was an extremely I just couldn't believe how attacking a change it was. But I mean, to go with an out and out front two at that stage, and then like, who was it wins it back in the left back area for Eugene and somebody around that area, and then he lifts his head, and instead of only having one option in front of him, now he has two, and that immediately creates a more threatening scenario for Meepo, and he exploited it brilliantly.
Yeah, I wasn't noticed. Yeah, probably Jarvis then that passed into Meepo. I thought we were outstanding. I still think Bowen is a bit too defensive. You can see a big difference, which over the course of the season, I can see Rovers kind of winning more games, obviously, because their centre-half just get forward way more than our lads do. Ledwich does, but Bowen on the other side doesn't really... He's afraid to cross the halfway line. And again, their goal came from our throw-in. I don't know if you spotted that, Shane. We struggled with that all season, kind of keeping our throw-ins. That's how they got the turnover. And we were going to all over the shop.
In my opinion, there was two problems with that, Shane. One was, I don't think Mbeng should have thrown it to Bowen because he was too close to him and it allowed to... But after, when Mbeng gets the little bang, Shane, he has to get up. And to be fair, Harry Wood tells him that. When the ball goes into the back of the net, Harry Wood, I don't know if he copped it, Harry Wood had a right go at him, Ben, for not getting up and getting on with things. Like, he can't just lie on the ground as the opposition team. And I thought he was very good. I thought the battle between him and Brennan was excellent. But sorry, in mentioning Harry Wood, geez, he was. I know he ran out of steam a bit as it went on, but geez, he was electric for an hour or so, I thought, yeah.
He was the only one that kind of has a bit of fear, like he's fearless, isn't he? Like on our team, he'd slot into that Rovers team in a heartbeat, wouldn't he? I don't see us keeping him. I could see us just the offer is going to be too big in July, unfortunately. So it's been a pleasure to watch. I'd be absolutely shocked if he was still here, because if we had the Champions League pathway like last year, we'd probably say, right, we'll gamble. But yeah, he was he'd done one or two things wrong, but so much of his passing, he's not afraid to take players on. He fakes stuff and he just takes three players out of the game. Yeah, I thought he got man the match, and he probably well deserved it as well.
Yeah, and you know what I like is he's a narky little yoke. He was fighting with Graham Burke, he was fighting with Dylan Watts, he was fighting with everybody, and I like the edge that he brought to it, you know.
Yeah, he's off the ball stuff, and that's something that's going to improve, which to me makes him one of the best players in the league. You look at where him to Jack Bourne tonight, like I don't know if Jack Bourne won any turnovers, but I think he must have made about five or six brilliant tackles, and some of them were even tackles that were just a bounce of a ball off, kind of being our counters. I thought he was a standing spiel save, was massive. It looked like a good save, probably Trey Hatton, but the big physical presence means you have to put it in the bottom corner, and you dealt with it kind of when you needed it as well.
No, it was a super stop. It was an absolutely super stop. Fair play to him.
We've been crying out for Meatball to be back all season, and you could just see that difference he gives us up front. A couple of times he had a chance and then he goes and gets his goal. Like, that's just what we've been missing. We're a bit more defensive tonight than we have been, but I think Rovers kind of force you to do that. But look, if we had him all season, like, he's going to miss chances, he's going to miss control of the ball. If he could do all that stuff, he wouldn't be playing in the league. But he's easily, for me, probably one of the best strikers in the league, just given his pace is just, and his strength is unbelievable. It's only when you see him up close how strong the lad is. Like, and he's not going to run around, and the reason why he's not going to run around is because he backs himself to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Shane, can I ask you, like Meepo, when I saw the goal, I'm only seeing it from the video now. I haven't seen it from in there. Should Ed McGinty do better?
Is that to me or Keegan?
Yeah, it's you, Shane. Yeah,
I just think he catches him early. The goalkeeper probably knows Meepo's right footed, and he probably doesn't think he's going to take the shot on. I haven't seen it back from my angle. It just looked like, and the power. That's another thing. Meepo's shots. His power is ridiculous, lads. So, like, he just bangs it in, and he probably catches him off guard because he knows he's right footed. So, he probably doesn't expect the shot that early.
I think the angle is so tight, Ben, that I think McGinty is expecting him to drive it low and hard across the 6 yard. And I think McGinty takes a little bit of a chance in that he takes a step in that direction on the expectation that that's what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden he's left the tiniest gap at his near post. I see on our list of listeners there, I think I see Mr. Stephen Henderson. He'd be better equipped now to talk about what goalkeepers should and shouldn't be doing there, so he would. But I just think he gambles on it. I just think he gambles on it a little bit, and he just gets caught out then, doesn't he? He will be disappointed with himself, I think.
Yeah, well, if he's not taking a step to the left for the shot to go across him, then obviously he's kind of never going to get there, because the power and the shot is unbelievable, and the accuracy to get it there shouldn't really be underestimated, that he got it straight in the front post. Like, so yeah, if he took a step to the left, then he's going to kill himself. I thought McGinty was
Shane, your first goal is superb.
Yeah, that Chapman plays a big part in that. We can't remember who Chappers passed the ball to, but he just gets the head down and drives, and it looks quite simple, but we haven't been doing enough of that this season. And Caffo, for me, I don't understand why he's not in the team more often in midfield. He gives you absolutely everything, in the sense of he's good on the ball, he's good off the ball, he can head the ball, or he mightn't be a 10 out of 10 in any area, but he's got everything. For me, I love Caffo, and I think he's been wasted as a wing back, and I'd love to see him. Look, McEnroe is brilliant at pressing, but as a footballer, for me, I kind of question him. He's no right foot. His passing can be a bit weak, where Caffo's just a complete all rounder.
Yeah.
Gonna go on, Chen.
No, I was going to say cheers. That's going to have a point now, so thanks for having me on.
Enjoy it. Well deserved.
Yeah. Cheers, lad. Thank you.
Cheers.
Talk to you later, Shane. Take care. Shane, just before we... Shane Keegan, just before we move on from that game as a whole, like, have you seen anything in Rovers there that you fear they might wilter from their title defence a little bit?
Look, they need the same thing that we've spoken about a few times, which is just that little bit more of a clinical edge in the out-and-out centre-forward role. I mean, Aaron Green, he was, you know, he was near, things nearly happened for him a few times, but at the same time, there was a couple of balls put in, Enda Stevens put, now maybe I'm trying to think, was Aaron Green not put all at his feet, but he might even have been gone off by the particular chance I'm thinking, but there was a brilliant ball put in by Enda Stevens at one stage. There was an outstanding ball put in by by Dylan Watts at another stage. Couple of times, Graham Burke was another one. Couple of times where there's balls going right into the area that you're thinking, oh yeah, just get across the defender or get across the front post and you have a goal here. And that run never came, and it never came from any of the Rovers players. They just need that bit more quality in the nine role for me, you know.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Yeah, and obviously Pico Lopez as well out for the next couple of weeks won't help them at the back either. I'm going to switch the attention towards Derry City, because usually when we get Marty in here, it's he's fairly depressed. That's after a bad Derry result. I hope we're getting a different Marty this evening. Marty, how you doing? Well, go on, talk us through that, because neither of us got to see any of that because we were at other grounds there tonight.
Well, actually, I was sitting at pitch side right around the halfway line, and I saw Tierney Lynch walking out to the dugout, you know, and he looked like a man that was going to the electric chair. Like, he looked like he was on the way, he was doing the Green Mile. And we started kind of the way he walked out, and balls were kind of all over us, and went 1-0 up. Unlucky probably not to be 2 or 3 up, to be honest. But we kind of created a good goal, Dos Santos, and Clark linked up well. Clark with a really tidy finish, like he is top class. And then we kind of got in the ascendancy. It was a close enough game back and forth.
But after time. Hey, you hear me, guys?
Yeah,
have you there?
Sorry, yeah. After half time, we just came out and I just tore into them for 45 minutes. Like we scored cracking goal. Young Conor Barr, who's been a really successor. Young Conor Barr, who's been like a real success. He hit a screamer shortly after half time. Another great Clark goal, and then another very good Dos Santos goal. And even we had a penalty to make it 5-1. And Clark missed. It was a sensational save, in fairness. But yeah, like, second half was like nothing we've seen after the all season. They just, well, maybe the last win we had against Shamrock Rovers 7 weeks ago was reminiscent of, but we just tore into balls. They couldn't manage us.
I'm just looking at some of the goals. That is some strike by Conor Barr, isn't it? Jesus.
Oh, it's top class. And I can't remember, was it Clark's third or was it Dos Santos's fourth? Or the fourth for Dos Santos was nearly as good as well. Like, yeah, some cracking goals. But even Bo's goals was pretty good. So another great game to add to the list tonight.
Yeah, and even Clark, the tidiness of Clark's feet for the first goal, even, I know it's a good chance, but he still has a lot of finishing in it, isn't there?
Absolutely, it's so tidy. Like, he's so composed, so calm. Like, what a player, unbelievable.
So what was the difference? What, like, where did that come from?
I've no idea. I don't know. Like, again, it looked like everything we've seen for the whole season, really, at the start. Whatever went on at half time, I don't know. Mark Connolly, as you know, like, has come back to the club as director of football. He was in the ground. He was on the pitch before the game. Maybe he's gone in at half time and tore them up. I don't know. Like, but they came out like a totally different side after the break. And Michael Duffy, in fairness, back fit as well. He hasn't really, since the last international window in March, he's kind of stop and start. So he looked back on it. So, like, he makes such a big difference to us, you know.
The only way is up from here. How well can it go from here?
Ah, look, you know, I've seen this before. The last time I was up in Derry was the opening game at Celtic Park against Rovers, and it looked like we turned the corner. And then we went down to Drogheda and absolutely sunk out the place. So down in Galway next week, like, you know, it's a tough old place at the best of times. So I need to see a lot more to think that we've turned any corners here, you know.
Pierce Stadium, that'll be in, so will it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that now, big time. Like a new stadium.
Marty, did you see anything tonight that swayed your opinion on Lynch?
Well, as I said, like, we've seen this before this season where we've had a big performance and then it's not followed up. So I think we need a couple of wins down the board before we can start talking about, you know, the project being a success.
Is there any chance that Mark Connolly signing or appointment can actually be the start of a big turnaround? Like, is he that much of a kind of figurehead up there that it can spark that?
Well, it's not even that it's him. Like, it's still somebody there as a director of football. Like, we haven't just had that in so long. We've just been given piles of monies to manage
what you want, except it's about time we start getting proper structures in place. And Depot wasn't in the squad today. Apparently he's gone. Josh Thomas is gone. Apparently Jamie Stodd is gone. And one more, Alex Bannon. Royle is probably gone as well. He did play tonight. So we're going to have another, like, massive overhaul in the transfer window, which, again, like, how can we keep doing it? It's madness. The only striker we had in the squad was an injured Liam Boyce, who, you know, he did come on and play, in fairness. But how can we be in this situation again where we're probably going to be making 10 transfers in, 10 transfers out in the summer? And after every transfer window, our form is always terrible. So, again, we'll see.
Yeah.
Interesting thing as well, sorry, about the kind of Lynch and Connolly. Like, Connolly wanted to stay at the club. and Lynch wouldn't give him a contract, and now they're bringing in Connolly over Lynch. So it's a very strange one.
And that's yeah, that is an interesting dynamic. Tell me that centre mid pairing for you, Marty. I'd like to see that a bit more for you. Adam O'Reilly and Cameron Dunigan, was it?
Yeah, it was a three in the first half. Markey was kind of playing as the advanced. Well, you'd Dunigan holding and Markey and O'Reilly either side. But Dunigan makes all the difference. Not even Dunigan. Well, Dunigan is great, but an actual number six sitting there in front of a back line does make so much difference. Yeah. But we've played Bowes and all too many times now, playing two in there, like, which is, you know, it never works against them. So, yeah, if we're looking for things that were different tonight, having the midfield three really helped us, you know. I think Parel Devoy must be jet-lagged. He didn't look up to it at all.
Yeah, no, listen, I got to work with Cammy for a while, obviously, when I was at Dundalk. I think he's an outstanding footballer. I know he's been kind of plagued with injuries, but I think if he, you know, if you're looking at things that made a difference and can continue to make a difference, he can keep him fit and keep him in that sixth role. I think that's definitely something that can help move you in the right direction, you know?
Absolutely. He's very... he reminds me of Sergio Busquets without being too dramatic. the way he can break a press and beat a press by just dropping his hips and turning the ball, he's really, really, really good. Well, I think he's the best six in the league. That's a big shout, but don't see enough of him. But whenever I see him, I think he is really, really good. I think he'd play for anyone in the league.
Yep.
Marty, any other final thoughts on Derry? Anything with that people who didn't watch this game might have missed from it? Like, we'll get the Bowes angle in a second with Anthony, but anything you'd be worried about on their behalf even?
Yeah, like, they just collapsed in the second half. I don't know what happened at half time. Were Derry so good? Were Bowes so bad? Like, it's, you know, you kind of have to watch back again to see, but yeah. I don't know how they ended up just absolutely collapsing at half time. And I think when they were 2-1 up, they looked like they panicked a bit when they're 2-1 down, Rennie went for three subs immediately, and then I think when they're 3-1 down, he made another two subs. So it looked like he might have panicked to 2-1, to be honest.
Marty, thanks a million for hopping on tonight. It was good to hear you in some better spirits than
thanks, lads,
we've had you on over the last couple of weeks.
I've been beating a dead horse for a few weeks, so it's nice to be able to actually say something good. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Marty.
Have a good one, lads. Thanks.
As I said, we'll get Anthony in a second. We've requests from Waterford, from St. Pat's in there as well, so we will get to them. But just while on the topic of Derry City 4, Bohemians 1, let's get the Bohemians angle from it. For once, Marty's on a good side of a Derry City result. Anthony, you're on the bad side of a Bohemians result. How are you after that?
Hey, lads. How's it going? Hey, Ben. Hey, Shane. I couldn't really disagree with anything Marty said there. He was pretty spot on. We kind of played really well for maybe 25 minutes. We had a stonewall penalty not given. Barry Carr, I don't know what happened. They took him off at half time in the end, but basically he lost the ball on the edge of the box and we shifted it out wide and the boy was running onto it. He stretched for it. It was a stonewall penalty. Ref didn't give it. You get on with it. We actually scored a few minutes later. Harry Vaughan got a good goal, actually a very good goal. And they turned the screw for another 7 or 8 minutes after that. And I was thinking to myself, this could be any score because Derry looked really on the ropes at that stage. It looked like game over for them. And then I don't know what happened. Well, there was one thing that I was thinking back on where it was balls were pressing very high with the wind in the first half an hour. So Dale Rooney does something that he never does and he was going beyond the ball an awful lot, and then when it was breaking down he was having to track back 40-50 yards. Ross Tierney was coming up and supporting Whelan and Vaughan, and they were pressing the goalkeeper. Like, you're talking 40 yards on that pitch to press a goalkeeper that's just knocking it over your head. And I was kind of going, that's a big risk pressing on that pitch and trying to do that. So I think they put all their head, and this is my just opinion on it, I think they put all their eggs in the one basket on this and pressed high and tried to get a lead and push Derry for the confidence, and they probably needed the second when they got their first, and then I don't know what happened. Diallo didn't. I don't know what was going on, but he didn't have a good game at all. He gave the ball away two or three times. He was going back. When he actually gave the ball away, he was behind the back, the two centre-halves, and he played a square ball across, and it was got intercepted, and Michael Duffy squared it in, and Clark gets the ball and makes a lovely little dummy and finishes it 1-1. And then Derry were good for the last 10-12 minutes of that half as well. They were probably better than a good bit better than Bow. So it wasn't just the last 45 minutes. They were good for the last 10 minutes of the first half as well, Derry. And I think that it was 8 minutes Derry got their three goals in. So I just think there was a lapse in concentration. There was a screamer of a goal. But if you look at it from a defensive point of view or even a coach's point of view, you'd be just looking and it just looks like bodies chasing Derry and they're a yard off and they're not getting close enough. I know Tierney gets a little bit of a kind of a shit. He gets a block in and before it falls to Conabar. But just kind of smelt a little bit of we were a yard off and the energy was spent and there was a couple of people in the wrong areas and two or three players like Diallo, even Devoy, they're having 4 or 5 out of 10 games up in Derry and it's not going to work for you. All that being said, I wouldn't be overly worried. It did just look like one of them things. I haven't seen that one balls yet this season where they just had a bad 8 or 9 minutes and the game was got over at that stage then and it didn't look like they could get back into it. There was a really strong wind up there as well. So I don't know if you can blame the conditions, but it has to play a little bit of a part. But I'm not overly concerned. The way that Derry has always won, we won up there already this year. There's probably one you could nearly mark down as if you got a draw, it'd be good enough. I know they're on a bad run, but they'll still show up, especially when their back's against the wall. They've nothing to lose. James Clark was excellent, to agree with Marty, and one or two other very good performances as well. Michael Duffy was excellent again, as usual, as any time I've ever seen him. Probably an 8 or 9 out of 10. Just a little shout out goes to the goalkeeper, the American lad in for Bows. There's apparently a bug in the camp, I don't know how true that is, but there was one or two boys missing, 3 or 4 actually, that probably would have started, and the goalkeeper being one of them. But your man didn't put foot wrong, and he actually made a terrific save from a penalty that was never a penalty in the second half. That's my take on it.
It makes you're right. I think I wouldn't be saying that there should be any major panic on the back of that. It was a game. I did think he had enough about you given Derry's troubles to go up there and take at least a point from it, if not a win. But again, there shouldn't be alarm bells. But it does immediately make next Friday's one a big one, because if you suffer another defeat at home to Dundalk, now again the crowd could swing very, very quickly. So it does make that one a pretty big one for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you're spot on. That's what you say. You dust yourself down and you kind of expect the performance off the mail next week. Now, when we played Dundalk and Oriel Park earlier on in the year, in the previous round, we were actually very good in the second half. And I don't know if the way we play doesn't suit against them, but you'd be kind of turning around and going, well, now they owe a performance next Friday and get the holiday. To get the holiday shaken off and put it down to a bad week, but you're dead right, Shane. If that turns into another bad result next week, and then all of a sudden you're snowballing, like this league, if you're on a bad run of form, you're just snowballing new shells the week after, and it just gets tougher. Whereas if you're in a good run of form, every game seems like a winnable one. So exactly to that, we need to stop the rot early and get back, because he played well for the first half an hour, probably well enough to have won the game had they not made the mistake and the chances they created. So it's not all. I wouldn't be overly worried at this point in time.
Anthony, any idea how the Harry Vaughan situation is going to play out?
No, not really, Shane. I don't know. I'd love him to sign on, because I think he's up there in terms of ability and in terms of what he gives you. But just on Shane's point about Harry Wood as well, and players that turn over the ball. He turns over the ball an awful lot as well, and he worked hard off the ball. And that was one of the probably the criticisms you would have had there today with the likes of Ari Vaughan, was that he was pressing and pressing, and the energy was spent. We had to take him off after 60 minutes in and around, and Derry got their goal. So maybe it's just a naive way of playing up there on a funny sort of pitch that you're not used to. But yeah, Harry Vaughan, you'd have him all day long. I think he's a big ceiling. I think nobody's seeing how good he can actually be. I think he's shown glimpses of it. But yeah, I like his work off the ball, and I like I'd like to see him in the league as well, because he's a good addition, and I think he'll only get better.
Yeah, agreed.
Anthony, any last thoughts on Bohemians tonight?
Look, Ben, it's hard to be ultra critical, but I just want to talk about one more thing. So you were mentioning at the games you were at, the rules were enforced, and that I didn't see that at all in the Bowes Derry game tonight. The substitutions were laboured coming off the pitch for both sides. Not that it made any difference to the result, but I just don't think it was enforced. It was throw-ins taking a long time, free kicks were allowed to be slowed down. So we just have to err on the side of caution with having it in one and two games and not enforcing it in other games. And I know we probably have a couple of teething problems the first week, but we need to be very careful that we're not enforcing it in some games and forgetting about it in other games when it doesn't suit. I know, Ben, you were saying it was an issue with Conor Keighley there in your game, and there was a head injury in the first half for Bowes, and they did kind of, I think it was Cian Bourne, the half-time whistle went, so it would have been interesting to see if they made him stay off for the minute. But yeah, so that's one thing just to be careful of, that we're consistent with that.
Yeah, we'll get into it, because I can see Keith has requested it is passed. We'll get into that. The issue with Keighley was it was over 2 minutes before he got back onto the pitch. Yeah, which, as far as I was aware, the rule was 1 minute. I actually don't think there's a minimum time listed in the rules, but the consensus is 1 minute. But it was over 2 minutes, and Kevin Doherty was not happy with his with the fourth official. Interesting to hear that none of that was noticed.
What they'll turn around and say with that sort of stuff is it's to the discretion of the referee, and it's safe.
Yeah.
Is it safe to bring him back on? So they'll cover themselves off of that. But again, with new rules like this and dropping them into a league that's very tight, and we're looking at margins every week, are we running the risk of having serious debates and serious arguments and serious fines for managers and players and coaches that give out about these things? We've already talked about how vital it is with people's livelihoods when this thing goes on, and we can't just have a blasé approach to one week you have a rule and the next week it's gone. So I suppose even in the media we have a responsibility to call it out when it doesn't happen, as well as the teams themselves.
Yeah, well said, Anthony. Thanks many for hopping on tonight.
Cheers, always. All the best. Thank you.
Keith, I promise we will get to you and talk Pats, but Podge has been waiting for a long, long time, and it's not often that we get Galway United and being discussed here, Shane Keegan.
True. How are you, Podge?
Podge, how are you doing?
Lads, what's crack? Sorry, I was on mute there.
All good. How are you getting on?
Not too bad. I missed what she said there at the start. I'm watching the darts here now. I wasn't down in Cork this evening, but I was watching it on the old box here. But I don't know. I assume you didn't see any of it for the games you were covering or anything like that.
No.
Goal in the last minute for them outside the box. And do you know what? I couldn't say for a second that it wasn't coming. We were taking on water from about 5 minutes in. Like every time Dundalk were pushing on, there was danger there every time. But after about 25, 30 minutes, Galway really settled in and it looked like they were actually going to knock on and get something. And I thought, okay, there's a bit of football here, but nah, it was coming. It's not something that you can be proud of. Like the record, I think over 50% of our goals this year have come from in 90 minutes plus or something mad like that. I'm trying to find the stats before coming on, but I can't get it. But it's something mental like that, where we're in the like 19 games, like 11 of those goals have come 90 minutes plus. It's crazy in that sense. But I mean, we've lost our first home game in Turner's Cross, so it's not great in that sense either.
Did you make that whole situation, Pudge?
Well, Shane, I'm going to tell you this now, right? I look back on my post that I put up. The GAA master fixture list came out on the 19th of December. On the 19th of December, I could figure out, and I'm only a lad with a phone, and I could figure out that there was a potential clash this weekend. And I could put it out from that. And if you listen back to what JC put up when he was speaking to Galway Bay, he said, oh, this issue was identified. Oh, there's some sort of thing going on there where if I've been able to identify it since December 25, and the club and or Galway GA only picked up on it a couple of weeks ago, there has to be serious questions asked there in that sense. Now, there's also things on, let's say Dundalk could have been accommodating for a fixture switch for the Monday and stuff like that, but that's too late. Like that's literally last year. This kind of stuff needs to be flagged up on. So it's not. I just finished up on this. The lads were, there was a two buses went down this evening, and one of them ended up by Button of Ash for 2 hours because there was a flat tire. So there was a few fans that didn't even get to go into got into the game very late. So yeah, the words piss up and brewery come to mind.
I tell you what, Shane, if you've been in Buttevant before, the cars do just be parked along the side of the road in Buttevant. It's a That's a bad place to be on the side of the road on the way to Cork City.
For a home game.
For a home game, yeah, to add insult to injury.
Hodge, I'm looking at your Twitter feed here. You're not happy that Love Island got priority billing over the League of Ireland tonight, I see.
I wasn't going to mention it, but I don't know if you know the viewing figures from whatever. Like Virgin Media 1 and 2 get HD, and like 3 and 4 are like the poverty channels back in the 90s and like the old TV box at the back of it. Like how is a lad from Barnet? Is Love Island more popular than the League of Ireland now? Really? Seriously?
is it in Galway, Podge? That's a question that you can answer for us now that we can't answer.
Is Dove Island? No, we're moving out to the Aran Islands. Apparently, there's going to be Shawnee Fitz merch on sale on Sunday outside of Pure Stadium to try and cash in and all that. But it's okay though, because in all seriousness, there is a question there about on Friday. So Derry come to town, they're used to playing a GA pitch and everything like that. I'd love to know what the crack is with pitch dimensions on a GA pitch, because obviously it's unlimited on that sense. Can we just copy the pitch dimensions from Terryland onto that? I'd hope so. I don't know if there's going to be trundle wheels put out in front of it, because I'm sure the boys are going to be on top of that anyways, but maybe that's one for Marty from Derry, because what they have had to go through the last couple of weeks or whatever.
I'm sure a good man like Noel Connolly
will
be on top of that.
Noel's on top of it anyways. Hopefully they have it all started. That's kind of all I'd say on that. I'm not going to criticise players on a public forum like this, but there's one or two that I'd have question marks over. Sigrun, there was a chance there at the end for Chato as well that he probably should have had a swipe at, but, you know, and Ball's uncles and all that kind of crap. I don't know if you have any more questions. I don't know what the crack is like from the Dundalk side. They know they should have won a 3 or 4 nil and the game should have been Athlone. And if the game was in Athlone as well, they would have tore asunder on the surface and everything. So
fair play, though.
Yeah, I think that was the worry, wasn't it?
Like you said, Ben, we don't get the Galway angle too often, so it's good to hear from
Podge.
Fair play.
Asher,
thanks, many Podge.
No bother at all, lads. Take a hand, like.
Take care.
Look.
We do have two more requests to get to. I'm going to get to Keith first because he has been sitting there patiently the whole time. and I was at this one as well, so we might be able to have a little back and forth. Just before we get Keith in, Shane, actually, Tariq Wilson with the late goal. How many outstanding goals is that now for Tariq Wilson's season? Like, I'm thinking... Yeah. There we've Keith there. We'll get back to that. Keith, how you doing?
How's the farm, boys? You well?
Very, very well, yeah. I'd imagine you're well after...
absolutely delighted. Considering our form before the break, like, we practically fell off a cliff before the break. So, yeah, look, considering the other results tonight as well, couldn't have been any better for us, to be honest.
Yeah, 3 clean sheets in a row against Drogheda, which is a pretty nice thing to do as well. They're often, I find, Pat's bogey team sometimes.
They have been for the last few years, all right, but like, they could have played for another hour there. I don't think Drogheda had done a whole lot. Like,
yeah, Keith, I'm interested to get your opinion on some of the... I don't want to say the refereeing, but maybe the new rules been implemented. The Conor Keeley fiasco where he's off the pitch for a couple of minutes. There's an Eguinic Bagé, looks like an elbow to the back of Luke Turner's head that wasn't given as well. There's the Jason Buckner one where he pierced the strike Chris Forrester in the head as well. Like, that was a game full of contact to the head, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it made the game such stop-start, and it kind of stopped Pat's really getting into much rhythm, I thought. Like, it was the same every time Keane Levy got on the ball. You know, he'd go past two or three and just seemed to get hacked down. And, like, I don't know, are the refs letting too much away? Like, it seemed a stonewall penalty on Turner. Like, I don't know, did the chap that fouled him, did he just touch his head and went down as well just to buy it and make sure he sold it? Like, but, like, Turner touches it first. Like, Turner gets his head to it and he gets an elbow on the back of the head. It's like, I don't know what planet or what game that ref is watching, but it's a stonewall penalty. Absolute stonewall. And you hear Johnny Mack in commentary there. It's like, obviously he's going to be biased, but, you know, he said it himself. Like, if the attacking player touches the ball first, then someone comes through the back of him, what argument can anyone have? Like, I saw Redmond was obviously, Joe was arguing with the ref for it, and, you know, the ref just has his hand up pointing out. Like, you know, it's strange. But again, so many head injuries that just seem to make a stop start. You do feel sorry for Kevin Doherty. Like, you know, the Keeley one was a bit of a piss take, to be honest with you. But like the chap was saying earlier, you know, does anyone really know where we stand on the rules at the minute? Because the refs don't seem to know. And that's not a dig at them. It just seems to be, like you were saying, is it going to be enforced in one game and not in another? I don't know. It's going to make things very confusing. But just on another thing, look, Dawson Devoy gets all the credit, and rightly so, but anyone that's seen Keane Levy live, if he's not rated as one of the top two in the country, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm seeing, but bias maybe, but Levy is just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, to be honest, Shane will maybe I'll relate to this. It was about 15 minutes in, and I was tempted to write back to the office and say, get the Keane Levy digital stuff ready for after the game, because he ran the show in the first 20 minutes. Absolutely everything went through him. And I think when I spoke to Stephen Kenny after the game as well, he made the important point of referencing his goal. As soon as he gets the ball, he looks up, picks a spot and just buries it there. And it's something that we didn't maybe see from Levy when he first came back to Pats. That end product was probably what was missing. And he just has it now. And now that he has it, like, this is a guy that is just a joy to watch. And I think you got to enjoy watching him, because I don't think he's going to be around the league for very long.
Nah.
He keeps performing at this level.
That's the fear. That is the big fear.
He's superb. He's absolutely superb. It's you know the kind of players I've described it before. Like, you know, he looks bored. He looks bored when he has to play a simple pass. It's like every time he gets the ball, it's right, what can I do? What can I make happen? You know, what sort of creativity can I bring to this? And that's his instinct. And, okay, he won't try it every time, because sometimes he'll see it's not on and he'll lay it off. But, like, it's almost like he looks disgusted with himself when he has to lay it off. And that's just, you know, it's brilliant to have that kind of drive and imagination about him. And I'll tell you what, that's come this year. There's a level of consistency now with him. Like, you know, his bad game now is a 7 out of 10, and you're kind of expecting an 8 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 out of him almost every time you go and watch him. I was really surprised with Whittier results before the break, because, you know, there's so much quality within the side, and it looked like that everything was trucking along nicely, Keith, and then you know, Rovers had those couple of defeats and it was there for you to take advantage of it, and he didn't. And you know, I was pissed off with you, to be honest.
I won
the title race, and he looked like you were the ones that were going to give us that title race, and maybe now he will again, because this time round, finally, he have capitalised when they've dropped the points, but you have to develop a better level of consistency. That Rovers get punished every time they drop points. You have to punish them every time and make a proper rattle of it, because you have the quality there to do it.
I totally agree. And like, look, the next four games are going to be crucial. If we're serious about mounting a challenge, especially without Joey and Ang, Sligo, Bowes, Galway, Waterford, I think, is in that mix. Like, you know, not saying, obviously, Bowes will turn it on, no doubt about it. But those other games are massive games. And if we can start winning the big ones, like the Bowes, obviously, I know people are saying, you know, Rovers are beating us, but they're only beating us 1-0. Like, and, you know, they're very, very tight games. If we can flip them around, I really think we can mount the challenge. But like you said, consistency is the key. You have to be, like, we can't be dropping points to these, not say lesser teams, but if you are serious about mounting a challenge, you know, it has to start now. It can't, there can be no more room for error, like.
And just on the mention of an Ang there, had Rodgers much to do tonight?
Nothing at all. That's what
I'm
saying.
I tell you, I just want to jump in there. He made one great save.
Well, in the second half.
He tipped it over the bar, and I did think when he made that, I was like, that's a sign of a fella who's been keeping himself sharp, because he hasn't played in the league in a year and a half because of Joseph and Ang. I thought, I was a little bit worried about Pats without an Ang, not just the what he does in the net by keeping those out, but how organised he keeps that defence in front of him. I thought Rodgers did that very, very well tonight as well. I wouldn't be too worried now for a Pats.
No, I wouldn't be worried, but I went to, it was at the Leinster Senior Cup game against, what was it, Dundalk there a couple of weeks ago, and that was the first time I've seen Rodgers playing a long time, and he did look a little bit shook. Maybe that's just building into it. He looked more confident tonight, but by you said, bar the one save, like, another thing with Joey and Ang is his distribution is second to none. You know, like, so many of our players are started off that, you know, he can skip a press. If they go back to him, he can skip a press and find the centre midfielder very, very easily. But again, the next four, I just really think the next four or five games are gonna decide if we're gonna be really in this title challenge, or are we just tipping along, you know? And but again, going back to it, we have players like Keane Levy there that can open a game up. Keane is back, Palmer's back. Now how long we can keep the two of them fit, because they're notoriously always pulling up with injuries and this and that. But if you can keep the two boys fit, and I'm quietly confident. I still think top two is a minimum, and I don't see Bowes having enough consistency. As bad as we are being consistent, they're just two hit and miss. If anything, I think Dundalk might catch them, to be honest with you, and might, you know, really push us. But I think top two for Pats, but next four games are going to decide if we really are serious about a title challenge.
That's hardcore, Ben. When we have our callers on referencing attending Leinster Senior League games, Leinster Cup games, that is hardcore.
That's a proper fan there, Keith.
yeah, we try anyway. My son was nagging at me more so than anything to bring him up, but anyway, we went.
that's it. Blame the son, not like you want to.
That's what I said to my missus anyway. Oh, he wants to go.
Keith, thanks a million for hopping on.
No matter, boys. See you soon. Go on.
Shane, just before we finish, last but certainly not least, we're going to get down to Waterford. What a result for Waterford tonight against Sligo Rovers at the bottom of the table. Toby, how you doing?
Yeah, Ben, right, Shane, how are you?
Very well.
Good.
I'd imagine we're not as good as you, Toby, after that.
I've been honestly waiting all season to talk to you with a win. And finally it has come.
Go on, talk us through it, because the two of us were at different grounds. So talk us through every single thing that happened there for Waterford tonight.
Well, look, the moment when the ball was kicked, Waterford just looked like the team that was just go for it. Like, you know, they would go for it. And then just Sligo would be pinned back, I think, the whole game. We dominated them start to finish. we looked, it was probably the first game all season that we looked comfortable. Like, really, really comfortable. When we got that first goal, it was good. And then the halftime just came around. Sligo went on about a 10-minute period where they just get balls in the box, and we were just crossing and crossing and crossing. Then, obviously, Lottigan went off, and we made the sub, and the sub who came off a Lottigan. Oh my God, he made the difference. A goal after a minute coming off. Then the Sligo man took off and got an assist, and he could have got a few more goals. He's fast.
I was wondering when I was at the Drogheda game, I said, is that a better result for Drogheda if Waterford win? Or if Sligo wins, obviously if Sligo won, Drogheda were back in the bottom two. But I think, Shane, looking at this now, I think Waterford, all of a sudden with that result, have a right claim to get back into South from a situation that looked done a couple of weeks ago.
I'm happy out here. I called this one a couple of weeks ago, Ben. I saw them down in the RSC the night they were unfortunate enough to concede that late equaliser against Derry, and I was very, very impressed with them. I think they've looked very good since the new manager has come in. I did a preview, a League of Ireland preview podcast earlier in the week, and this was my big tip, was I thought Waterford would absolutely have enough about them to go and get the 3 points. The only element of it I got wrong was that I tipped Tommy Lonergan to be the one to go and get all the goals, but this time round it was his partner in crime, Podge, that came up with the goals. Tommy's been the one in form in recent weeks, but this is the thing, like, they've got two centre forwards that would start for pretty much any League of Ireland team in the Premier Division, you know. So if they get, you know, for me, if they got their act together, they always had the firepower to be able to pull themselves out of there. And yeah, I can really see them pulling this off, to be honest with you. Like, it seemed mission impossible before the new manager came in, but you look at the recent results, you look at how their tails must be up now, you look at the quality that they have in the side, and I'll tell you, if I was Sligo or Drogheda now, I would be starting to get very, very worried, because yeah, they're looking good. Okay, I won't say I thought it would be 4-0, but I really fancy them to get it done tonight. And yeah, they've duly obliged. Things are very much trucking along in the right direction for them. One quick thing, one little aside here on this is, I'm glancing down at my FAI Connect. Obviously, we've spoken before about the FAI Connect has been one of the great kind of the great advancements in League of Ireland. If you click on the one, now I've checked one or two of the other games, it seems to be two of the five games. The Connect has now added in formations and profile photos and all that on the Connect. Geez, that'd be a great advancement now if they can keep that going. As I say, it's on the Waterford Sligo game, has the formations, the shape, the players' positions, all of that kind of stuff. For some reason, it seems to be two of the five games.
Yeah.
I did see Mark Scanlon on the call earlier on there. He might be able to shed some light for us on it. But geez, that would be another great step if we can keep that up, you know?
Absolutely, yeah, Shane. I did notice that myself, because it wasn't on the game that I was at in Drogheda and Pats. It wasn't in the game that you were at as well, in Tallaght, but it was on Derry Bohemians, and it was on the Waterford game as well. And I agree. Sometimes when you're reporting on these games and you get to the ground and you're trying to go through the changes and you have last week's one written out in a formation list, and then you get to the new one and it's in numerical order. Sometimes you're trying to figure out what way teams are going to play, if there's a change. There's a bit of that with Drogheda tonight, trying to figure out what formation they were going to play in. If we could get that across the board, it's an absolutely brilliant addition. Toby, just quickly before we let you go, Shane mentioned there about Podge was the one to get the goals despite Tommy Lonergan being the one in form recently. Was there signs tonight now that it might click for the two of them together up top for the rest of the season? I don't know if we have Toby, you still there?
Yeah, Toby.
I think we might have lost him, Shane.
I think we lost him.
Hold on.
He
must have disconnected because I we should have you there now, do we?
You do, lads. You do. You should anyway. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Have you there? Just did you hear about Podge and Tommy Lonergan there?
Yeah, like the two striker partners in private Everton, yeah.
Yeah, I just literally as we speak, I can see my colleague down in Beat FM, Oren Johnson, sending up Graham Coughlin's post-match audio and video. I'm sure that'll be a great listen for any Waterford fan. Toby, how confident are you now looking on that you can turn this around?
Well, look, it's always going to be a task, you know what I mean? It's always going to be a task. Like, this new manager is giving us hope because he actually has passion on the sidelines. Like, you know, like I know
we have you there, Toby.
Yeah, lads, like, you know, like we do. Yeah. The manager has passion. Like, when the players were like, you know, the new rule that you have to come off after like 10 seconds, he was yelling at them to go off. He was yelling at them to come off quick.
Fair play. Toby, thanks a million for hopping on tonight.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Shane.
Take care. I'll talk to you later. Shane, just very, very quickly before we wrap up, I want to ask you a question that I asked Steve Kenny tonight. And it is League of Ireland adjacent because a League of Ireland winning manager has got a new post. Damien Duff has gone in at Brentford. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, look, it's a brilliant appointment. I'm delighted to see it. Makes sense on a lot of levels, doesn't it? I mean, Keith Andrews done an absolutely outstanding job, incredible job. The two lads, I didn't know the two lads were quite tight and have got on well. I suppose this was always a case of whether Damien had the appetite to go back over or not. Like there had to be options or there had to be opportunities for him there. It was just whether or not he was at a stage in his life that he was willing to make the move back across again. So, look, brilliant. We were already all big Brentford fans, I think, with Keith there and Pricer there as well, and now throw Damien in on top of that as well. I think Brentford will be all every kind of Irishman's second favourite team behind maybe the club they've supported since childhood, and hopefully they can kick on. Look, it is going to be tough. It is going to be tough because, you know, the famous kind of second season syndrome Keith is going to have to deal with probably higher expectations. He's potentially going to be a victim of his own success next year. But look, Damien is an incredibly, incredibly passionate football man, that's for sure. Really, really excellent coach as well. And hopefully he can help them kick on, yeah?
Yeah, I agree. An absolutely brilliant coup for Brentford. I just hope that that we might, you know, maybe just once in the season, there might be a VAR decision go against Brentford and Damien Duff is put out to Sky Sports after the match. That's what I'm looking forward to, because I can't wait for the English audience to experience the Damien Duff we knew and loved in full flow. Shane, thanks a million for hopping on tonight. Well done on Co-Coms down at Tolka. Cracking game he's called out there.
Super stuff.
Take care, folks. We'll chat to you next week.
Off the Ball Rugby.
He was at the Stormers for a long time.
Yeah,
he's such a good coach. And I say coach, I mean the work ethic, the detail, the way he conveys it. No ego. You don't see him trying to take any media limelight. He's not come with celebrity. He just wants to win. And I think he's like one of the best coaches I've ever come across.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.